Silence is hard, isn't it? But there are times when the Lord just makes himself known. It can happen in a song. It can happen when you're praying. It can happen when you're reading the word. It can happen at any moment when there is an expectation for God to show up. And in the midst of that, in the midst of the expectation and the God showing up, the atmosphere changes. And when the atmosphere changes, the things are in the natural are actually affected. I'm not really at a loss for words, but there's a cautiousness in me at the moment to not tread where anything that would squelch what the Lord is doing. And I don't know exactly what he's doing, but I do know that he is doing something in you, in us today. My intent was to talk about the fact that God was a builder and a creator. And I sense that he's doing that in us sovereignly. Not necessarily in a 1 point, 2 point, 3 point thing, but just beginning to sovereignly create and recreate and build in us. And many times if you're doing something in the natural, when you're building in the natural, you've got to prepare for something to change. About 24 years ago, a friend of mine was moving out of his house, and he didn't want the shrubs that were there, and he had a backhoe, so he dug them all up. He said, "You want them?" I said, "Yeah, I need some shrubs." So he brought them over and dumped them in the front yard, and Susan came out and says, "Well, I guess I see what we're doing today." And we had to get them in the ground. You can't just leave them out. I thought maybe we'd just water them where they were and sit a little bit, but Susan said, "No, we need to get them in the ground." We got them in the ground. And they prospered. They didn't wilt, they didn't die, and sometimes when you replant, that happens. But what we found over the last couple years, that slowly some of them began to have something dead inside of them. And it would show up kind of like veining of fat in a steak. You know, you would see a strand of broken or dead. And we noticed it. I don't look for projects so I said, let's just wait and see what happens. Susan says they're dying. I said, "No, let's just wait. Wait to see what happens." Because when she has an idea, I get a job. I don't know if that works that way in your house, but she can have an idea, and next thing I know, I'm bringing out the tools. But we did give it some time, partly because life got busy, partly because I didn't want to tackle it, partly because I didn't want to spend any money to get them healthy or any of that stuff. But it became so bad that one of them died completely, and we had to take it out. Now, you got to understand that we had that whole front of the house, both sides of the sidewalk, was evenly spaced, and all of a sudden this one died over here, and we had to take it out. Well, you'd think that a blank spot, it's like losing a tooth. You'd think that that would bother me, wouldn't you? Enough to do something about it. It's been blank for years because I just didn't want to do anything about it. Well, I said, "We'll just deal with it as it comes." Well, we started seeing more and more dead arriving. Every time I back out with Susan and McCall, "We got to do something about those shrubs." It almost made me want to back into the carport so that when we left, Susan would not see the bushes and remind me that we got something to do. Well, Friday afternoon, I decided I'm going to take one of them out. I'm going to cut it down. But I'm not going to dig it up. I'm going to cut it down to about this high. That was fairly easy, so I did the next one. Then it started raining, so I stopped. Friday night, all night, I'm sleeping, and I'm thinking about, well, I'm going to do the rest of those in the morning. I'm going to do the rest of those in the morning. And I started yesterday, and before we finished, I don't know how many of them, 10 or 12 of them, all of them are down to about this high. Now, what I'm expecting and what we pray is going to happen is they're going to get new life and grow. There's a chance that they won't, and we'll have to dig it up and replant. But I was thinking about how this whole process, God looks at us and he sees something dead that's growing, and he draws our attention to it. And when he does that, he wants you to do something about it. He doesn't want me to do what I did with Susan, just say, oh, well, let's wait it out. But he wants you to do something about it. Why? Because he's building and creating in you. And he doesn't want the dead to take over. And when you've got something that's dead or that would be categorized as death or not good for you, and you leave it alone, it's contagious. It won't just stay that one little strand. But what if you go in and you take that one little strand out, you take the diseased part out, away from the healthy plant, and not have to do what I just did? Take every single plant down to a foot. See, God wants to build and rebuild in us. And there's an assessment that he makes quite often of just an inventory. And he gives us an opportunity to take out the dead thing, the thing that is not producing life. You may not consider it dead, but if it is not producing life, it is dead. He gives us an opportunity just to rip it out by the roots. You don't have to totally revamp everything if you catch it early. But if you don't deal with it, listen, it's there. If you don't deal with it, then more and more of your life is going to be affected by the thing that is dying. More and more of your life will be affected by the thing that is dead. And you have convinced, and many of us convinced ourselves, that that little dead strand that's in our life is not going to hurt. We're just going to wait it out. But that's wrong. Jesus wants us ready to pull things up by the root. The moment, the very moment he puts his finger on it. See, I knew the exact moment something was dying in those shrubs. Because it was apparent. It was obvious. It was brown and everything else was green. And because I didn't want a project, we waited it out. And what was a tiny sliver began to take over shrubs and take over shrubs. And all of a sudden, that's what people would notice when they'd pull up. In fact, I was telling somebody about that I was going to finish taking them out the very next day. And they said, well, I've been wondering what's going on with your shrubs. People are looking at you. People are watching. They wonder what in the world was happening to our shrubs. I don't know what kind of disease it was. Don't have to know. But what I did know, that if I continued to ignore it, that I would have to dig everything up by the roots. Now, I'm believing, maybe it's false hope, but I'm believing that now that we've got a clean sweep, that we're going to start seeing the next growing season signs of life coming back. In fact, we even made a commitment. We're not going to let them get so out of hand this time. They were pretty tall. We're going to keep them low. We're going to keep them trimmed. We're going to keep them simple. So we can see immediately when something begins to start happening that would take away the life. And the enemy wants you to think that that little thing that's not producing life inside of your life is something that you can ignore. But I can tell you, you better not. Even if you don't want a little project today, it is worth taking care of it today so that you don't have to spend hours on the hottest Saturday morning around to take care of this thing. And we entertain those things in our life that are dead, that are not producing life. And they can be very, very, very small and very, very sneaky, but they will begin to affect the other things that are in your life that are in good shape. Take a root of bitterness, for instance. You can be the happiest person in the world. Everybody would describe you as being a joy to be around. And you allow the enemy to plant a little twig of bitterness. And if you don't pull that thing out by the root, the happiest person that someone ever knew is going to become one that's so bitter. That one little planting could disrupt everything. See, that's why farmers know what to look at in their crop immediately, because they know if it gets ahead of them, it will take out the whole crop. They know what to do. Well, Jesus doesn't want anything in us that's not producing life. His life. I don't mean life that's just fun and happy stuff that's of no significance. I'm talking about his life. See, we have been left on this earth to carry on the work of Jesus. Whether we're following him or not, that's the whole reason you're here. Hopefully, you get a hold of that idea that I've been placed here to do this thing for Jesus, and you allow him to grow you, to create in you, to build in you. Line by line, brick by brick. The Bible says precept upon precept, truth upon truth. That's how God builds. And when there's something in the way that's not producing life, because our God is a gentleman and will not go against our free will, we may lay a truth on top of a briary vine. And when you do that, that weakens the mortar between the joints. And all of a sudden, what should have been very, very stable has a little bit of crack in it. See, the enemy can convince us that just this little thing that is not exactly what God wants is okay to have. But it's dangerous. It's dangerous in the life of a believer. It's not just a little thing, because Jesus knows what will happen if you nurture or give light and life to a little thing. It begins to grow. And all of a sudden, you got to do a major amputation just to get the disease away from you. See, if we had not done this, it would slowly, slowly take over everything that was growing in our yard. It might have taken years. Probably would. But we've decided that we don't want anything that's dead to stay around. And maybe it's easier to do that in your yard than it is inside of you. But listen, you are more important to God than your yard. What he wants to do in and through you is far more important than keeping a good line of shrubs so that the neighbors don't talk. I was all prepared to talk my neighbor yesterday. If he came over and looked at what I was doing, I was going to tell them that Susan said she's going to leave me if we don't get yard of the month this year on our street. Now, there's only three houses on our street, and we are in third place every single time. But we're going to make a change. We're trying not to be third place. Don't think we'll ever get number one. But what we can do is deal with the dead things so that what is being produced is that of life. And God is building his church with living stones. And he doesn't want things that are dead hanging around. He doesn't want the vines. He doesn't want the things that would cause others to be affected in a negative way. Because you see, when we are built by God's hand, that's strong. There's nothing going to happen to that structure. Because the creator of the universe is building it. See, God is not only a builder, he's a creator. And I love the fact that a creator takes something that doesn't look like could ever become anything, and it becomes something. A builder takes things that are around and connects them, and they become something. So if our God is a creator and our God is a builder, that's what he wants to do in us. But not only in us, he wants us to build. He wants us to create. He wants us to take what he's given us and serve it to other people. Now, we'd like to think that we have all these truths and we're just going to mandate it to everybody. No, God wants us to serve it to other people. That's the kind of God he is. He doesn't force it on us. Why would we want to force it on someone else? Why would we think that that would even be something he would want? He wants his truth to go out, but he wants his living stones that have been built by him to produce it. He wants us to take something that's not. He wants us to be as creative as he is. And he wants us to build as sturdy as he builds. So that people that grab a hold of the things of God, that it's not something that's willy-nilly. No, it is sound. His word is sound. His word, his doctrine is sound. His moving is sound. But he wants us to get rid of the dead things. And I don't know what dead things may be in your life. It could be what you are entertained by. It could be what you're feeding on. It could be a root of something that's been in you that you've never really dealt with, resentment or bitterness or unforgiveness or anything that is so opposite of what God is. See, in order for God to use you as a builder and a creator, he's already done it, but he wants you to reproduce him. He wants us to build the things of God. He wants us to create, be a creator. I love the thinking of Walt Disney. I read this some years ago, and I think it was in the 50s and 60s that Disneyland on the West Coast was created and opened and all that. And then he had an idea. He wanted to expand. He wanted to go to Florida. And he began to draw up all these plans and bought all this land and had all these things in order. And then he died before it opened. And his board of directors were just sitting around talking about that. And they said, once Disney World, I think I'm right, World is in Florida, once it's up and running and everything's going great there, they're sitting around the conference table and they say, I sure wish Walt had seen this. And the chairman of the board spoke up and said, Walt did see this. That's the whole reason it's there. So as we think about God, what God wants to produce, He'll give us glimpses of that. And we'll be encouraged in our building because we've already got this picture of what God's going to do. And we're actually not surprised when it happens because we have already seen what God could do. See, God will give His people. I believe God can give His people anything. He can give us a vision. He can give us a dream. He can give us whatever. He can actually draw it and hand it to us. He's God. He can do anything. So when we're on this journey with God, building all along as we've asked Him to build in us, then we're not surprised at what we've created because He's given us a heads up. He knows at the end. Walt Disney always knew what Disney World would look like, even though he didn't see it in the natural. But in his creative mind, he saw it. He knew it. It was real to him way before the first shovel went in. And that's how we need to be with the things of God, knowing that God is going to perfect these things in our life. God is going to perfect them. As long as we're weeding out the dead stuff and we're moving forward with all the living stuff. And He'll give us a glimpse of His glory. And we'll have a picture of that. Now, it's going to be grander than any picture we ever dream up. But we'll have a hint of that. I don't know that Walt Disney ever thought that his empire would grow to as big as it is. But he wasn't surprised that it would be successful. So we may not know everything, but we do trust the Lord. You know, I love the fact that when David was confronted with his sin, the dead things in his life having to do with Bathsheba and Uriah and all that craziness that went on, when the prophet Nathan confronted him, David knew already he had done all that stuff, but he really hadn't come to terms with it being something he did. He knew it happened, he knew he did it, but he really didn't see it as sin against God. But when he did, when the dead thing was revealed, listen to this, Psalms 51, 10 through 15. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a loyal spirit within me. Do not banish me from your presence, and don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and make me willing to obey you. Then I will teach your ways to rebels, and they will return to you. Forgive me for the shedding of blood, O God who saves. Then I will joyfully sing of your forgiveness. Unseal my lips, O Lord, that my mouth will praise you. When there's been something dead in our life, we need God to create something new. When we finally come to God and say, God, I really blew it. I'm so sorry. Forgive me. And God not only forgives us, He begins to rebuild. He begins to rebuild those things that have been damaged. But He doesn't stop with just repairing the damage. He builds more. What if we were to take an honest look at our lives, understanding the fact that God can create and can build in us? Well, what if we were to see our failings as opportunities for God to create and build something in us for His glory? It's not the permission to go fail, but it's redemption of the failure. What if we would see our failings in life, those failings can be turned around for God's glory if we invite Him to come in and create and build? You know, I love this song Pastor AJ taught us not too long ago, and maybe it's longer than I think, but God, Turn It Around. I love that song. In essence, that whole song is appealing to the action of creating and building. I'm calling on the name that changes everything. All my hope is in the name of Jesus. And I'm praying that God will come and turn this thing around. God, come, turn it around. In a very real sense, that's exactly what David was praying. I know I messed things up, but God, created me a clean heart and turn this thing around for your glory. I don't want to continue anymore the way I am. I don't want to continue with this dead thing still in my life. I don't want it to spread to other areas. I don't want it to take over my life. I don't want the dead thing anymore. But it really goes way beyond us just messing up bad like David did. We need to be constantly looking for ways that we need the creator and the building of God in our own lives. Your marriage not what it should be? Invite God to come and create and build something new in your marriage. Your work life not what it should be? Invite God to come and create and build something new in your work situation. Invite God to come and build something new in your parenting abilities. Invite God to come in and create something new in your attitude. Invite God to come and create and build something new in you for, in your relationships. Invite God to come and create and build something in your finances. Something new. If there's something dead in them. So you can fill in the blank. Whatever in your life that is not what it should be, you can invite God to come and build and create something new in your life. And see, once we truly see our God as a creator and the builder that He is, once we truly grasp that, our life, and even more importantly, our witness can literally be transformed. When we allow Him to replace the dead stuff with something alive, everything changes. Everything changes. Now, if you would pass by my house today, you would look like, it'll look like a bomb came in and knocked off every plant to a foot tall. In fact, we realize now the brick behind it's dirty. Another project. But you come in the spring, our hope is that there'll be a sea of green starting to come. Little buds to start with, but eventually taking over the stalks. And then when you pass by, you might give us yard of the month. Who knows? Miracles can happen, right? But when you've got something dead in your life and you've not done what's necessary to allow the live things to prosper, think about your witness. People pass by you and they just see something ordinary. Or worse than that, they see something dead. But when you've allowed God to plant and build and create inside of you, all of a sudden, you might get Christian of the Month when they pass by you. Because it changes you, and it changes how people see you. Now, some people can't change how they see you, no matter what God does in you. So we're not doing this to please people. But the moment we think that we don't have a responsibility to hold out the word of life, if what we're doing is causing someone not to see the word of life in our serving, then we better pay attention to that. There might be something dead in the bush that you need to uproot so that His glory can shine through. Jeremiah makes a declaration that you probably know, but it is so powerful. Jeremiah 32:17. O sovereign Lord, you made the heavens and the earth by your strong hand and powerful arm. Nothing is too hard for you. You can look at a row of bushes and just see a big hot project in your life. Or you can remind yourself of everything that God has already done and that nothing is difficult for Him. He can do more than you can dream up. He can do more than you can dream up. And I have a pretty vivid imagination, and I think you do too, but He can do more than that. Starting today, how about we try this? When we would normally complain to the Lord about something not going well in our life, change the tune. One of my favorite bands growing up was REO Speedwagon. I still like their music and still gives me a good feeling. But they got a powerful line in one of their songs, and it's a song that's entitled Roll With The Changes. And here's the line. So if you're tired of the same old story, oh, turn some pages. Maybe it's time for you to turn some pages and let Jesus create and build something new in you for His glory. If so, let this be your prayer. Lord Jesus, I invite you to come and create and build in me so that my circumstances change for your glory. Think about how that must seem to God. When normally we're telling Him how to do something, if you will just take this out, if you will just take them out of my life, if you will just let me win the lotto, if you will just, how different that is to say, Lord Jesus, I ask you to come and create and build in me so that my circumstances change for your glory. And maybe it's the same circumstance you would ask Him to handle a certain way. But when you give Him permission and don't tell Him what to do, all kind of stuff can happen. You see, if yesterday morning Susan woke up and said, Brian, you're going to have to get that shrub thing done today. You know what I would have done? I don't think today's the day. It's going to be too hot. I need to prepare for it. But many times we do that to God. God, you need to do this. You need to do this. You need to do this. I'm tired of this. When all you need to do is invite Him to take the dead thing out of your life and create and build something for His glory. And that's a really neat prayer for God to hear, because that says, wait a minute, they're not boxing me in. They want my will and not theirs. When we ask Him to do something in us for His glory, He'll do it. He'll do it. It may not be fun to cut away the dead thing, but the life that it produces and the glory that God gets is so worth it, because you may be the only word of God that anyone ever sees. They may not ever read the Bible, but they may read you. And you don't want to have a bunch of shrubs in your life full of dead things. Nobody wants any of that. Nobody wants that. They want life. And Jesus has that. We say amen? Amen. 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 Let's pray.